Kicking off a new series today that I'm really, I'm thrilled about. when you preach on spiritual warfare, it stirs up things in the dark world that come against you, come against people around you, and creates all sorts of havoc. But we have to recognize that. And that's the reason I'm preaching this series for my summer series, is we need to learn about what's going on in the air that we can't see. In the invisible realm, because there is an invisible realm. Turn to, if you will, your Bibles or on your devices to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. Ephesians 6, 12. Here we go. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Heavenly places means in the air, all around us. And so I want to share with you today and let you know that there is a heaven represented by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there is a place called hell, represented by a devil named Satan, and a host of fallen angels called demons. All of these operate in the spiritual realm, or heavenlies, as we read. You see, it's the invisible atmosphere around us. Now, they operate in the invisible realm. But they're always physical manifestations. There are always physical manifestations of all of these. Why? Because they're in a war against each other. They're in a war against each other. And listen, the war is over you and me. That's what the war is over. It's over souls. Over people. The war is between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Now you can deny it, you can ignore it, you can try to escape it, or you can just pretend it's not there. But that won't change the reality of its existence because it's real. All of humanity, which means the entire world, is affected by this spiritual warfare. And so today I'm talking about rules of engagement. Rules of engagement is a a military term that sets down that commanders use for their troops to set down the times, the ways, and the means of how they're going to do battle. And so I've titled today's message Rules of Engagement because we need to know what the rules of engagement are for this spiritual warfare that we're in. And the first one is this. When we pray, we engage in spiritual warfare. Now, I'm not talking about the little five-minute devotionals that we do and thank you, Lord, for my food and thank you, Lord, for my home and thank you, Lord, for my job. I'm talking about when we pray and really pray to engage. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But when we actually really pray in a way that we're seeking God's praise, seeking God's face, and seeking God's presence, and seeking God's will in our life, and seeking God on behalf of others in a passionate way. I'm talking about not just any kind of prayer, but the kind that results from a growing discipleship and a spiritual maturity, getting into God's Word where understanding is gained through learning. Understanding is gained through learning. And then applying it. Applying that learning to an intense, passionate kind of prayer. It's the kind of prayer Jesus taught. Jesus taught this kind of prayer. And he taught the kind of prayer that's just beyond everyday simple devotional habits. It's not like just what some people do is hoping something good is going to happen. You know, your prayer is, okay, God, I hope this turns out all right, or I hope that this happens. Not talking about that. Or a desperate call to God by someone who has very sparsely consulted Him, but now they're in desperate need of Him. I'm talking about a plugged-in, God-tuned-in prayer of passion, with fire, with belief, with faith. Jesus calls us to receive and to use the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. I'm going to talk more about that next week. Jesus calls us to go deeper in faith. Deeper in faith-based prayer. Faith-based prayer. Prayer that's based on faith. It's based on God's Word. It's based on truth. It's based on what we know, not what we see. Okay? Faith-based prayer. So that when we pray, we can truly engage. We are truly engaged in spiritual warfare. Because there's somebody working against you every minute of every day. If you're a Christian. Especially if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, it doesn't matter. The enemy still is working against you. Using you as a pawn. Controlling your life in ways that you don't even realize. It's a war. It's a clash of good and evil. That's the world we live in. It's a clash of good and evil between God and Satan. Between the kingdom of God and the powers of darkness. That's the war. And so, we need to know that when we pray, we're engaged in spiritual warfare. We're not just talking to God. We need to be talking to the enemy. We need to be talking to the enemy because why? Because we have been given the authority in the name of Jesus to speak to the enemy. So the next rule of engagement is this. The power of the blood of the cross is the source of that authority. You see, we've been given authority, but it comes from the blood of the cross. It comes from Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood and Jesus' name who has authority over everything. The name that's above all names. You see, we're equipped with the authority to succeed in this age-old battle. And it is an age-old battle. It's not new today. You do realize that, right? It's been going on a long time. A long time. But we're equipped with the authority to succeed in this battle against what the devil, who is Satan, and his distraction, his deception, and his destruction. You know, that's his game plan. That's his rules of engagement. Distraction, to get you distracted from who God is and who you are in Christ, to deceive you with lies, deceive you with lust, deceive you with emotions, and then destruction. His third rule of engagement, to destroy you. Just destroy your family, your marriage, your joy, your peace, and ultimately to destroy you. That's his rules of engagement. Our rules of engagement is that the power of the blood of the cross is our source of authority over those things, over distraction, over deception, and over destruction. Turn to John chapter 14. We're going to look at several scriptures today. John 14, beginning in verse 12. Jesus is speaking here. Jesus is speaking and he says this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now listen, that doesn't mean asking for $1 million and he's going to drop it in your bank account tomorrow. And he's saying, Jesus is saying, if you ask anything in my name, meaning in his will, in God's will. Well, how do I know what's in God's will? It's in his book. He tells us his will. You read this, you'll know what God's will is. Okay? Might be God's will for you to have $1 million. But it also might be his will for you to go out and work for it. Hello? You see, whatever we ask, that's warfare. He's saying whatever you ask, most assuredly I say to you, there's authority. Jesus has given us authority. He says whatever I've done, you will do, and even greater than these, meaning even more than these things. And more of them. Matthew 16. Are you with me? Anybody besides John? Are you with me? All right, good. Matthew 16, 13. It's a little more comfortable in here with that extra AC unit, right? I'm trying to overcome that AC unit and make you uncomfortable. Turn the heat up a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. Warm up here. Matthew 16, verse 13. Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said, that's not what I ask you. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades in this translation, that's hell, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound on in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Here's the most important ground rule. Jesus is giving believers his authority here. His authority. And one of the keys to the kingdom is his authority. That's one of the keys of the kingdom. But here's the most important ground rule. Because I know a lot of you came into this morning, many of you have never even thought about this topic or this subject. And maybe you've heard about it, but you've not given it much thought. But here's the most important ground rule for spiritual warfare for the Christian. You must perceive how real the invisible war is. You must perceive how real the invisible war is. And then, how adequate the resources of God, the resources are that God provides. You got to believe it's real first. You got to believe it's real. You got to believe that there really is spiritual warfare. There really is an invisible war going on right now. In this place. You see, when I really had to pray over this because there was a couple other series I wanted to do this summer. But the Lord kept bringing me back at home, here, different places, warfare. And then he reminded me, we've been doing some warfare and helping some families in some spiritual warfare in a lot of different areas. And so he said, preach it. Because I knew when I preach on spiritual warfare, things get tough. You know, and so you have to be on guard. My wife has to be on guard. My family has to be on guard. You guys have to be on guard. Somebody's vehicle broke down on the way to church this morning. Coincidence? I don't think so. Because they were supposed to be here because they were part of the service. Yesterday morning, I woke up and I could turn my head about this far to the right. I had knots and all kinds of garbage in my neck and back shoulder area. I could not turn my head just this far. Couldn't look down. Couldn't do any of this. And, you know, we had a prayer meeting here. By the way, we're going to have prayer meetings. We've implemented prayer meetings Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, and Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And so some of us got together and prayed yesterday morning. Yesterday was a miserable day for me. I didn't get any sleep last night. I'm not saying, oh, poor me. I'm just saying that was an accident. That wasn't a coincidence. That was the enemy coming directly in opposition to what I'm speaking on and what you guys are supposed to hear. We have to realize the invisible war is real. It's real. But also, we need to recognize that Jesus has given us adequate resources to do battle against that. The first one is faith. He's given us faith. Faith to believe in His Word, to trust in Him, and to believe what His Word says, that greater is He that is in you as a Christian than he who is in the world. That means that He is Satan. Greater is He, God, that is in you, than He, Satan, who is in the world. We have to believe that. Faith. Believe it. You see, the darkness is getting deeper in this world. And I think we all recognize it. But God's Word gives promise. He says where sin abounds, grace abounds so much more. And He's talking about the grace that's been experienced already by those who have met the Savior, Christians. And it's the same grace that brings salvation, that same grace, it's the same grace that fills and overflows each one who is open to the streams of living water. Available to every believer who will receive the full endowment of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus prophesied about and He promised before He ascended. He's talking about that river from the Spirit that gives power to live for Christ, power to grow in His Word, and power to be equipped for spiritual warfare. The Holy Spirit. That's where the power comes from. Because it's beyond our human capabilities, our human thinking, and our human wisdom. The Holy Spirit's way beyond that, but He brings us things that are beyond that when He fills us. And so the next rule of engagement is be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're not sure what that means, you go read the book of Acts. Read all through the book of Acts, and it's spoken about all through there. Jesus promised it. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the power to do battle. Because let me tell you something. Satan's not trying to think of a word. Satan's not a pansy. Okay? Everybody know what a pansy is? Not a flower. Pansy. He's not a pansy. He's not a wimp. He's strong. He's deceptive. He's intelligent. He started out as God's worship leader in heaven until he rebelled and got kicked down here. And so now he works every day with all his angels of hell to mess you up, to make you miserable. And the Bible says he comes, the devil, John 10:10, only for this reason, to steal, kill, and destroy you and me. It's real. The Bible prophesies very clearly about the increasing evil that corrupts people and the hellish demons they're manifesting today for the final conflict. The final conflict. 1 Timothy. Turn over to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, back toward the back of your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Still with me? Matt, you with me? Okay. Ian, you with me? Okay, good. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. What does that mean? It's pretty simple. It's not Greek Orthodox language. In the latter times, some will depart from the faith. They'll walk away from God. They'll quit serving Him, quit believing in God. They'll walk away, is what it's saying. Giving heed to deceiving spirits. They'll do that because they're deceived. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You know there's deceiving spirits that deceive us. They deceive you into getting offended, taking up an offense for others. They deceive you in thinking you've got to have something. They deceive you with lust. They deceive you through your eyes, which is the gateway to your heart. Doctrines of demons. Listen, verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Their own conscience seared. In other words, sealed off. No conscience. Their conscience quits working. And you know, that's what happens especially to unbelievers at some point. They refuse God, they refuse God, they refuse God, and at some point the Holy Spirit says enough. They stop drawing. The Holy Spirit stops drawing. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, when is that? Now, we're in the last days. I don't know how many days that is, but we're in the last days. Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness means they go to church. You thought this was talking about somebody else, didn't you? Having a form of godliness. They go to church probably most Sundays. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. In other words, not engaging God's Word. Not engaging God's Holy Spirit. And allowing it to transform and empower them. Having a form of godliness, looking churchy, looking Christian-y, but denying the power of God. And from such, people turn away. That's clearly the dark side described here. That's what's happening. Well, you say, Pastor, it's talking about people. These are the characteristics of the darkness, the dark world. And this is what happens to people that don't fight against it, that some succumb to it. These are all characteristics of Satan and his demons. But there's the other side as well. Turn to the back to 1 John, a little farther over. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So We read about in 1 and 2 Timothy about the darkness, okay? You got a picture of what that looks like? Yeah, somebody just said, that looks like my wife. And I said, you better not. You thought no. We don't do that here. We're nice. We smile. We're nice. We love. Or we learn to, right? All right, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. What's born of God? Christians, people, if they've been born again. If they've been born again. If they have received Christ as their Savior and put their faith in Christ and their life is being transformed. Not having a form of godliness, but being of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes what? So do we have to fear the darkness that's out there? I mean, it's pretty ugly when you look at it, isn't it? I mean, all the beheadings and the terrorist activity. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear because it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is that? Our faith. He says right there, our faith. Our faith is what overcomes darkness. Our faith is how we overcome darkness. Believing that God is who He is. And what did I say? Believing what else? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's faith. Who is He who overcomes the world? Well, He says, it's he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have what you need to begin to overcome the world and the things of the world and the controlling spirits of the world. Faith is the issue. Faith is the issue. Worship team, if you'll come up, please. Faith is the issue. I want you to hear this. Faith is the issue. Remember what he said, what Timothy wrote. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, denying the Spirit's power. The faith is the issue. And the question is, what makes faith the issue is this. Can we get enough of ourselves out of the way? Can we get enough of ourselves out of the way to receive enough expansion of our faith? See, what's happening here this morning for a lot of your faith's being expanded because you've never looked at this spiritual warfare or had it, anything like this taught to you before, maybe. Or maybe you've heard it, but you've never been engaged with it. Are we willing to get enough of ourselves out of the way to receive enough of the expansion of our faith to the point that we trust in God's power. We trust in His desire to endue us with power. Because you see, the same faith that you receive salvation with is the same faith that you're endued with power. The same faith that you're baptized with the Holy Spirit with. It's by faith. But you have to have that faith and that desire in your faith to allow God's power to be endued into your life. In His name, and by His word, and with the blood of His cross, we learn to move and to live in victory. That's the good news. In His name, by His word, and with the blood of His cross, we learn to move and live in victory over powers of darkness. Live in victory over the powers of darkness. His name, His word, and His blood, listen to me, applied in prayer. See, prayer is a big weapon. Prayer is one of the keys. His name, His word, and His blood applied in prayer with faith. With faith. will cut through the bonds of darkness and release people from shame, from guilt, from addiction, from futility, from sickness, and other things that the enemy tries to enslave us with. You see, it's time. It's time that the church, and I say that not only as heart cry, but as the church at large, but it's time that the church assumes its rightful position and begins to fulfill its calling to take back the kingdom that it's been given away. It's been given away for a long time. It's time for the church to fulfill its calling by taking back the kingdom, and that means warfare, because that's where it's given away and that's where it's taken back. Because the church for a long time has been allowing the kingdom of God in our lives to be taken away, to be stolen for a long time. And it's time Christians start acting and living what they profess. To stop living in the bondages of the prince of this world. It's time for God's people to be set free and walk in that freedom that Jesus paid for. Jesus paid for. That's why the Bible says, when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. When the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And so I want to ask you, as we pray this morning, to bow your heads, close your eyes, pay close attention to God. Is that your desire this morning? Do you desire to be set free? Maybe you're not a Christian and you're just struggling through life, and for some reason you ended up here this morning, or maybe you've been coming for a while out of just religion, out of a religious spirit. Well, if I go to church, everything will be okay. Are you ready to be set free and become a believer? Maybe you're a Christian here this morning and you're not living life in freedom, the freedom that Jesus paid for. I ask you this morning, do you want to be set free? Do you want to be set free? The Holy Spirit wants to set you free. God desires that you be free. That's why He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for you to be free from sin and death, and for you to be free from the powers of darkness. Even as a Christian. So this morning, I say to you, if you want to be free, come and be set free. Free from sickness, disease, free from jealousy and strife, free from doubt, free from addictions, whatever it may be. Worship team's going to lead us in a song. I'm going to ask Pastor Bill and Rudy and Beth, Karen, if you'll come to the front. You know, we're going to stop playing games here that Timothy described. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. We're not going to deny God's power anymore. His power is real. It's here and it's for us in faith. And so as they lead us in this song, just come and let us pray over you, whatever your need may be. Worship team, would you lead us? Listen to this song. It's time for the chains to be broken. It's time to walk in freedom.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Power is here.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Set you free.